Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. An optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We're just so happy to be here on this Resurrection Sunday. And today we are teaching on power of the resurrection. We thank the Lord for our visitors. We thank the Lord for those of you who are tuning in live on the radio today. We are just so thankful that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And before we go into our program, I will open up with prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you. Lord, we just thank you for your many mighty works, Lord God. We thank you for your resurrection power. Had it not been for you, Lord, where would we be today? Lord God, we know it's by your power that was able to get up out that grave, Lord God, that raised Jesus out the grave. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that got up out that grave. And by you getting up out that grave, Lord God, we have a right to eternal life. And Lord God, we just want to praise you. We give you all the glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be talking on power of the resurrection. And you know, I have to bring it out because a lot of times as we go about this Holy Week or however some people may deem it, they get confused on what this day really is about. This day is not about Ashtar, but it's about Jesus. Amen. So I didn't want to do the dyed eggs and all that, because if you know about the significance of the eggs, you know that it all correlates with a pagan god. So I didn't want to get into that. I want to keep it holy. I want to keep it focused on what we've come today to celebrate. It's about the resurrection power of Jesus. Amen. And afterwards, we do go home, we eat, we have a feast together. But I didn't want to take the focus off of what this is today. Amen. So if you could turn to your Bibles with me, I want you to go to John, and go to John chapter 11, and go to verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And if you go a little further in the scripture before that, you know, he was talking to Mary and Martha. Their brother had died. And he had been in the grave, and they sent for Jesus, and they sent word to Jesus that their brother had died. And when Jesus got there, they said, "Well, Lord, he's in the ground stinking. Now, it's been 3 days." If you could see all the correlation, Jesus was in the ground 3 days too. But they said, "Lord, he's been there for 3 days. He's stinking." But that's when Jesus came back and said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" This is what our faith and our trust is on that scripture today. If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. So this is what Jesus was saying. Can you believe that I am? Can you believe that I have the power? Can you believe that I can raise the dead? Can you believe that I can set men free? Do you believe that all power in heaven is given unto me? If you believe, amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a Christian belief that Jesus Christ miraculously returned to life on the Sunday following the Friday, on which he was executed and crucified. And we know that. We know throughout the whole week they've been showing the Bible. They've been showing the crucifixion. They've been And what I want to say, all that is good in itself, but you have to take it personal. You have to believe that it is real. Because, saints, we got a lot of deception going on. We got a lot of false teachings going on. We got a lot of people, and I'm going to get into that, how they don't even believe that Jesus rose from the dead. They believe that somebody, after he died, the disciples came, stole his body, and then they fabricated this whole big lie that he raised from the dead. That's why it's got to be a personal belief in you. That's why you have to know the truth. Because the Satan is already weaving his little web of deceit. And if you're not rooted and grounded and you have a firm foundation in what the Lord said, you'll be carried away by every wind and doctrine. Amen. In the New Testament, after the Romans crucified Jesus, he is anointed, buried in a tomb by Joseph of Arimathea. But God raised him from the dead, and he appears to many over a span of 40 days before his ascension to heaven to sit at the right hand of God. Christians celebrate the resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday. I don't like to say Easter because we know that is derived after a pagan god. And we know Constantine, what he did. He was a politician like politicians today. And what he did, he incorporated all. So he incorporated the pagan beliefs, which is Ashtar. He incorporated Christian beliefs. And he put it all together. Sound like today. How people tell you today, we can worship God. Jesus is who you want it to be to you. It don't have to be the Son of God. Whatever you see Jesus is, that's who he is to you. So we can bring all these religions together, we can house them under one umbrella, and we could just be in peace. But that's not what the Bible says. It says that the Apostle Paul wrote that Christ died for our sins. according to the scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to scripture. Thus, the death and resurrection of Christ were proclaimed as belonging together at the very heart of the gospel, forcefully placing the full weight of faith on both the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ by stating, if Christ has not been raised, this is what Paul said, all preaching is useless, and so is your faith. In fact, Paul further claims that belief in the death and resurrection of Jesus is so central to salvation that if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep and in Christ are lost, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are all people of God who have pitied us. So this is what it was saying. If we don't believe in what we're teaching, then we're doing it in vain. What do it does it matter? If we preach in Christ died and ain't nobody getting saved. God said he forbid that. This is why we do what we do. This is why we're not moved by what we see or what people say, because God called us to do a work. He said, preach to the lost. John the Baptist said, I was one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. This is what we have to do. This is our mandate as men and women of the gospel. Let's go on. In the New Testament, all four Gospels conclude with an extended narrative of Jesus' rest. And you know about how they arrested him. In the four Gospels, all of them state the same thing. What I wanted to get to, he said, because he died, he raised. Here is what he said. For, O death, is your victory. Because when you come into the knowledge of who Jesus is and you receive salvation, that grave can't hold your body down. Because you're going to get up one day. This is the promise that God told us. He said, now, I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. And y'all pray for this. Because it looks like every time I start teaching this cult, and I want to get anointed today, because I am tired of this. It gets in my throat. Now, I can do everything all through the week. I can go to work, typing, doing this, talking on the phone. But the minute I start teaching, and I want this out today, it's coming out. Amen. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must be put on incorruption, and this mortal must be put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death and sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Isaiah 25:8 says, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and rebuke of his people shall he take away off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Romans 1:23, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men, and to birds and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. And this is what we see going on today. We see a lot of times they have taken idols and they have made them and they worship in these idols. I was looking at a documentary the other night, 3 hours, and it was talking about how some of the entertainers, they think that by them worshiping this Luciferian, he was the angel of light. So see how the devil has twisted it? And I'm talking about a lot of them. They feel that this Lucifer, he came to them, he lied to them, he told them he was the angel of light, and he told them that he brings them the goodness, the riches, and everything. So if you would see that a lot of times in Hollywood, this New Age theology, they sit up and they meditate and they bring these riches to them. And the devil is the prince, he is the father of lies. And this is what the video was saying, because he brings them the stuff. They had a lot of them on there. They had your Beyonce's. They had your Lil Wayne. They had a lot of these people that meditate to get this money, to get this wealth. Did we say the devil didn't have wealth? Yes, he has wealth. But what are you going to profit to gain the whole world and lose your soul? Then they had a lot of kids. They think it is something cool to blaspheme the name of God. So on this clip, they was talking about how they don't believe in Jesus, how they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Because, see, once you, when you die, if you don't have God's resurrected power in you, you're not going to get up out that grave. You're going to be condemned to an uttermost eternal damnation. This is why we're telling people, yeah, you can get the riches, you can get the house, you can get whatever you want. Satan will come to you as an angel of light. But because they don't know the Bible, they accept the lie of the enemy. So he brings them the riches. This girl sitting up there talking about she don't know why God called her to do what she's doing. I said, God didn't call you to shake your behind in front of the camera and seduce all these men. The God of this world did. So, see, we have to define. See, because now people using the word Jesus so loosely. Everybody say, I believe in Jesus. But are your fruits exemplifying what you really believe? Are you truly a believer of Jesus Christ? Or are you just going through the motions? Or are you just going through a religious conviction, but you don't have a relationship? This is what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because when you're following after Jesus, when you're following after truth, you will not err, and you will not go according to the ways of the world. I don't care. He said, if some angel come to you and teaching you something other than we ourselves have taught, men in the Bible, men in the doctrine of Christ, he said, let them be accursed. So this false teaching, going around, telling people that you can become self-actualized, that you can have it all you need to do is get your mind in a mental state, you can receive it by thinking it into existence. That is of Satan. And now it has crept into the church, because we have church people saying mantras, and they tell people, if you say it enough, you can have it, you can have it. Those are nothing but witchcraft, occultic practices. We pray to God, and to him only do we serve. Amen. So I wanted to bring that out, because we see so much deception going on. Okay, let's go on. I'm going to give you a few accounts of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because today people still have doubt, because they say, well, the Bible was written by men, just like what Pastor said last week. But the Bible is the only book that can speak prophetically. Spoke over 700 years ago, Isaiah spoke that there would be a Savior, that he would come, that he would die, that he would be bruised, that he would be hung on the cross, and it came to pass 700 years later. This is the only book that can predict that God's Spirit can dwell in man and you can become a changed person. And I'm not talking through self-actualization. I'm talking about through the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus was crucified. He died. He was buried. He rose again. The resurrection is the essential part of Christianity. There is no Christianity without the resurrection. See 1 Corinthians 15. Then it says in John 20, 1 through 10, the morning after Jesus had been placed in the tomb, Mary Magdalene went to visit the tomb. It was very early in the morning, what Sister Sean read, and it was still dark outside. She saw the stone had been removed from front of the tomb and that the tomb was empty. She ran to Peter to inform him what she had seen. Then Peter and another apostle, John, ran to the tomb to see for themselves. The body of Jesus was gone, And the only thing left behind was the cloth that was used to wrap his body for the burial. The apostles were confused. Now, think about this. They were confused, but yet they had walked and talked with Jesus. They had seen Jesus do all the miracles, but when they seen him get up on that cross, they seen him crucified, they said, oh, it's over. We'll go back to doing what we need to do. But, Lord, I thank God for Mary because she hung around that tomb, and she said, I'm believing what God told me. I'm believing what God, Jesus, said he was going to come back. She hung around that tomb. Can you say that today? Are you holding on to a promise that God has spoken in your life? Are you believing God no matter what it looks like? You say, Lord, I know what you said to me. I believe that you're going to do what you said to me, for me. And you hold on to the promise. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene in John 20:10-18. The apostle returned to their home, but Mary Magdalene remained by the tomb crying. Then she turned and saw a man who asked her why she was crying. Mary Magdalene soon realized that the man who was talking to her was Jesus. Amen. Jesus had risen from death. Mary Magdalene was the first person to see the resurrected Jesus. Now, do we go out and make a shrine to Mary? No. But we do honor that she was the one stood by there and she referenced. Now, you got this false gospel teaching that Jesus and Mary was married, that Jesus and Mary had sex with God and they procreated and had Jesus. I'm telling you, it's a lot of foolish stuff going on. That's why if you're not steadfast and unmovable, you'll get caught up in some of this same false teaching. His first appearance, we said, was to Mary. Jesus appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and that's over in Mark. He appeared to Peter in Jerusalem. That's over in Corinthians. He appeared to his disciples and other followers. He also, second time, to two men at Emmaus in a locked room in Jerusalem. The apostle Thomas wasn't there at the time. Jesus appeared to him. Thomas said, if I could just put my hands in your side to see that you have was crucified. A week later, Jesus again appeared to his disciples behind locked doors, and this time Thomas was present. Jesus appeared to seven of his disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus was seen by 500 believers at one time, 1 Corinthians 15:6. He appeared to James. He appeared to 11 disciples on a mountain in Galilee. He walked with his disciples along the road to Bethany on the Mount of Olives. He was seen by Paul on his way to Damascus. Now, if this is not enough proof that he was raised from the dead, what else do you need? Some people had doubts that Jesus has risen from the dead, that he had been resurrected. After all, the Romans drove nails through Jesus' hands and feet and later pierced his sides with a spear to make sure he was dead. And now there were people claiming to have seen Jesus alive again. Even an apostle named Thomas had doubts, as explained in John. Because he couldn't believe, he knew the agony, he knew what he went through. And he said, are you telling me this man has come back from the dead? I got to see it for myself. So this is what people are saying today. But see, when I asked God, I said, so what do we need to tell the people? He said, because they're going to have to believe in their heart. Because all this falseness going on, they got to know without a shadow of a doubt that I have come inside of them, and they are my children, and I live in them. And he said, this is what you tell the people. Amen. So in the book, The Great Commission, this is what Jesus said, Matthew 28:18-20. After the resurrection, Jesus met with his disciples on the mountain to Galilee and gave them a command to go out to evangelize all the people. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of this age. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus mentioned the true triune nature of God. He speaks of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And that's how we are. We are a three-part being. We have a soul, we have a body, we have a spirit. And people say, well, you know, we do some deliverance and people get in demon possession. Well, I was saved, but I still had a devil. Because that spirit can connect to your soul. That breath is from God. And when you die, your breath goes back to God. But God is going to judge the soul man. And that's what we tell people. You are a three-part being. So that's how God made us in his image. God is three persons, three distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So when you look at you, you are a three-person being. You are a three-part person. That's how the devil will come to your mind. That's how he get in your thoughts. Because he want to come to your mind and he want to get you to doubt the existence of Jesus Christ, just like he came to Eve. He came to Eve in the garden. He started with the mind, working with the mind. Let me tell you something. Anytime you try to converse with the devil and you try to whip the devil, guess who's going to win? The devil. He's been here since the foundation of the earth. He know you. He know you inside and out. He know what to dangle in front of you to get you to bite the carrot. With her, it was the fruit. It was the fruit that she disobeyed God. And she went and offered her own lust. He told her she would be as God. But see, this is why this New Age doctrine is so damnable, because they tell you, you can become as God. You will know good and evil. This third eye is supposed to open up your knowledge and your understanding to the supernatural realm. And you can call things into existence. God already put his power in you. You don't have to have that, because that's the very power of God living in you. So it's a deception of the enemy. Jesus ascends into heaven. See Mark 16:19-20. And he said, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up in heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by signs that accompanied it. Mark 16:19-20. So this is what we're doing today. We are just letting you know that the resurrection Christ, he lives. He is alive today. If you want to partake and be with Christ, we ask you today, those listening in the listening audience, we will always have a space where you could call in or you could pray. If you need prayer, we're here for you, because we don't want to see anybody condemned. We don't want to see anybody down to eternal judgment. And at that, I'm going to yield the floor up to Pastor Bobby, and I ask you guys to just keep us in prayer. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. We want to thank the Lord for that word, because it's truly timely. And we want to continue to press the point of what this is all about. We like to say Resurrection Sunday, and that's what it really is. This is the day that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ come up out that grave. But the importance of that is this. He didn't do that just to be doing something. He didn't do that to bring honor and glory to himself, but he did that in obedience to God. He did that because he loved us. Now, you have many people out there who don't want to believe that, but whether they believe it or not is not the issue, because what is true is true. What is false is false. God is real. Jesus Christ is real. The Holy Ghost is real. Salvation is real. Life and death are real. If you don't believe it, go out to the graveyard sometime and look at it. Look at the crosses. Look at the gravestones. Look at all the thousands of people that are laying out there dead. Now, they're gone. They're not here anymore. Where they are is by their own choice. While they were living, did they believe in God? Did they call on God? We really don't know. But the fact of the matter is, they're not here anymore, and they have gone off into eternity. They're dead, and they're going to be dead from that point on, eternal. They're never coming back. But Jesus Christ, he did something to rectify that. And I'm going to get into some scripture. And now, there's one thing that I want to bring out. You hear a lot of people who want to doubt the existence of God. They want to doubt the existence of Jesus Christ. They want to doubt the things that God has done. They want to doubt the things that Jesus Christ has done. And many times they doubt that because of some of the things that they have heard. Mostly it's what they've heard because it's not really verified but what they've seen, but mostly it's what they heard. Now I'm going to read something out of Matthew 28. And although the Bible says this almost 2,000 years ago, people are still believing that, even though the Bible is saying that what they're saying is false. But yet they're believing what they know is false because they don't read the Bible. Listen to this. Matthew 28. And it says, now this is after Jesus Christ had been risen from the grave. The angel came and moved the stone away. Now while the stone was there, what the Pharisees did and the chief priests did, they heard the saying that Jesus Christ was going to raise from the dead on the third day. So they thought they had something for that. So what they did, they posted a Roman guard at the tomb of Jesus Christ. A Roman guard at that time was anywhere from 4 to 7 soldiers. Soldiers fully armed, and you wasn't coming in that tomb except you died. That's what those soldiers were there for, to keep anybody from coming into that tomb. Now, we said earlier that an angel came and moved away the stone. The soldiers saw that angel, and when they saw that angel, they could only stand there trembling. Some of them fainted, bam, because they saw the angel of God move the tomb away. They trembled, they fainted outright. They saw that angel. The disciples didn't come. They were somewhere trembling themselves. They were feared. They were afraid because they saw what happened to Jesus Christ. They didn't want that to happen to them. And you say, no, I'd have been there. No, you wouldn't have been there. You'd have been just like the disciples. You would have gotten in the wind and been sitting somewhere or standing somewhere or hiding somewhere, trembling for your very life. So you can get that out the way. But the soldiers were there. They saw the angel move the stone away, and they trembled, and some of them fainted. That's the word of God. But look, when the soldiers came to themselves, they couldn't stop Jesus from coming out that tomb. They couldn't stop the angels from moving the stone away from the tomb, giving Jesus Christ access to come out of the tomb, just like he said before he was crucified and before he died. He rose up the third day. Now, let me read this to you. While the women were on their way, this is Matthew 28 and 11. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city. They told the chief priests everything that had happened. The chief priests gathered together with the leaders and agreed on a plan. They gave the soldiers a large amount of money and told them to say that Jesus' disciples had come at night and had stolen his body while they were sleeping. They added, if the governor hears about this, we'll take care of it, and you'll have nothing to worry about. The soldiers took the money and did as they were told, and that story has been spread among the Jewish people to this day. Do you know that they're still saying that today? Some 2,000 years later, they're still saying that the disciples came and stole the body of Jesus Christ, and here it is right here in the Word. Now, think about this for a minute. As I said, the guards were stationed at the tomb to keep anybody from coming in there and taking the body of Jesus Christ. Now, if somebody came and took the bodies of Jesus Christ, took the body of Jesus Christ, do you know what would happen to those guards? They would kill them. The governor would kill them. And these guards knew that. That's why they were standing there trembling, because they knew they couldn't stop Jesus from coming out of that tomb. That's what they were commissioned to do, and they knew their life was on the line, and that's why the priest told them, don't worry about it, we're going to go to the governor, and we're going to push this lie so y'all don't have to worry about dying. They say, okay, give me the money, I'm gone. I just had to bring that out. So this is not a life thing, that something that just happened. It didn't just happen. God brought this to pass by his power and by his spirit, and Jesus spoke that, and it came to pass. But not only that, it came to pass. This was something that was prophesied some 600 to 700 years before, and it happened. So that gives evidence and proof to the truth of the word of God. If one part of the word of God is true, all of it's true. All of it's true. All of it's true. Why am I saying that? Because when it comes to Christ, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to holiness, when it comes to living a life pleasing to God, the word of God tells you how to do it. So if one part of the word is right and true and produces right, all of it does. All of it does. All of it does. You can't take one part of the word and try to live by that and then dismiss another part of the word. That's not how it works. It all comes together. It's all as one. It's just like God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, you can't separate them. You cannot separate them. So it's the same way in the word. When you read the word, you can't take out what you don't like. Mm-mm. If it's something, it was an old saying a long time ago when we were going to church. If you hear something in the word and it smacks you around and it hits you, you got to come up to it. You just come up to it because you can't take it and dismiss it. So if God said everybody got to be saved in his word, guess what? Everybody got to be saved. Now, you got to be saved regardless of if you believe it or not. Now, you can say whatever. You can say what was said earlier in the message about these people that enter all this demonology and false worship and all this false stuff. Somebody say they don't believe it. So what? Well, I don't need to live like that. I don't need the Lord. I can get in it my way. I can get to heaven however I want to. Some people say there are many ways that lead to God. No, there are many ways that lead to damnation. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to damnation and destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and there be few that find it. So he didn't say there was a whole bunch of different ways to get to him, or to get to God, or get into the kingdom of God. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ because of what he did on the cross. Now, if you want to go all these different ways, if what's going to happen, you're going to wind up lost. Because you're not going to go north. You're not going to get to Chicago by going south, going straight to the Gulf of Mexico. You're going to wind up in the Gulf of Mexico if you go south. You're not going to wind up in Chicago. Let's make it real. So you're not going to make it into the kingdom. You're not going to make it to heaven following the things of the enemy and the devil, doing what you want to do. The saying of Satanism, do what thou wilt. Do whatever you want to go. And you all right as far as Satan is concerned, because he know you're not ever going to make it into the kingdom of God. But let me read this to you. Isaiah 53, this is what was prophesied some 600 or 700 years ago. Isaiah 53:1 reads, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For Jesus, it says here, for he, but really that's Jesus, Yeshua, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. Say, Jesus has no form of comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely Jesus has borne our griefs, and he carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But Jesus was wounded for our transgression. Jesus was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So Jesus was oppressed and Jesus was afflicted. Yet Jesus opened not his mouth. Jesus was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent. So Jesus opened not his mouth. Jesus was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For Jesus was cut off from the land of the living for the transgressions of my people. Jesus was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because Jesus had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord God, Yahweh, to bruise him. He has put him to grief. Say, when you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities, for Jesus shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Now, what Isaiah was talking about is exactly what we're talking about today, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How Jesus Christ swallowed up death forever. God gave him the ability and the strength and the authority to wipe away tears from every face. So he removed the disgrace of his people from the whole earth, and the Lord spoke that some six or seven hundred years ago. And it happened. So what does that mean for us today? That means that you cannot earn salvation on your own. It can only be through what Jesus did. And that is what this day commemorates, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, of making a way of our salvation, of cleansing us, of delivering us, of setting us free. Now, when I say deliver, and when I say set free, I mean from the works and the power and the deception and the possession of the devil. That's why Jesus did that. It says, he was wounded for our transgressions. Everything that Jesus Christ went through, all the beating, all the whipping all night long, all the crown of thorns pressed deep into his skull, the spear thrust in his side, the nails through his hand and through his feet. And he received beating even before any of that, even before Jesus was whipped, he was beat down. I mean a real beat down. They beat him down and then they whipped him. He went through all of that because he saw you. And you, and you, and you, and you, and me, and her. That's why he did that. That's why Jesus went through that. That's why he was crucified. He wasn't crucified for himself. He didn't do any wrong. He was completely without sin. Neither did he speak any to any guile. There was none of that in Christ Jesus. He was a pure and holy Lamb of God, sacrificed for me and for you. That's what this day is about. It's not about Easter eggs and dinner. It's not about that. It's about your salvation. It's about your deliverance. It's about you being set free from the clutches of the devil, from sickness and from disease and from deception and from torment. and from death itself. That's what this day is about. That's what this scripture is about. And that's the reason Jesus Christ came on the scene, to set us free. He didn't have to do it. He did not have to do it. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made a conscious decision to accept the will of God in his life. That was the reason he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was praying the way he was praying, because he had to get that flesh part of him in line with God to do what God commanded him to do, and he did it, and he obeyed God for us. He asked the question, would you do that? The listening audience out there, would you do that? I don't think so. There's nobody that could have done that but Jesus Christ. The scripture talks about the Lord. He is our only salvation. He is our only deliverance. And to be truthful about it, the answer for the whole world today is not science, is not the law, is not medicine, it's not your education. It's not what you look like. It's not what you sound like. It's not what you wear. It's not what you eat. It's not what you drive. And it's not what you live in. The answer for the world today is summed up in Jesus Christ. Now, many people don't want to believe that because they're telling you there's many ways to die. You can get to God through Islam. You can get to God through Buddha. You can get to God through Hare Krishna. You can get to God through all these other myriads of false religions. But you can't. You can't do it. I know it might sound strange, but that when it comes to the things of the Spirit, the only way you're going to get anything in the Spirit is through God. I'm saying in righteousness. Now, you can get some stuff in the Spirit, but you don't want that because that's going to destroy you. That's what the world is offers. That's what the devil offers. But when he gives you stuff, it's with sorrow, it's with torment. God gives you things with no sorrow, with no torment, because he wants to bless you. Now, I'm going to read something else, and then I'll go another way. Now, in Colossians 1, you know, when you think about this, the scripture tells us that through one man, sin was brought into the world through the failure of Adam and Eve. And the scripture also tells us that through one man, righteousness and holiness was brought back into the world, our right standing back with God, which was through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, that right there is a miracle in itself when you think about it. How can one man just about destroy the whole world through sin? And how can one man, through his righteous life, being the Son of the living God, eliminate sin and take sin away from mankind so that they can be in right standing with God, whereas we won't have to be a sinner, whereas that sin nature is taken off of us and taken away from us by and through Jesus Christ, through what he did on the cross. When you come into Jesus Christ, that sin nature that you had, the scriptures say he washed it away. He said it's far from you as the heavens is from the earth, as the east is from the west. The scripture tells us that once you come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ and once you accept the Lord as Savior, he has forgotten about your sin. So who reminds you of that sin? The devil. Why does he remind you of that sin? So why? To try to draw you back to it so he can hook you and pull you away from Christ Jesus. That's why. So the Lord never, ever, the Spirit of God never, ever tempts anybody to do wrong and to sin. If you do wrong and you sin, after you come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, it is your flesh or the enemy. It's not God. God strengthens He causes you to come closer to him. How? By his word and by his spirit. There's nowhere in the Bible, when you read it, that condones falsity, that condones wrong living, that tells you to go out and commit blatant sin. There's nowhere in the scripture, according to God, that tells you to do that. So if somebody says that to you, there's a good chance that they're speaking by and through the enemy, the devil. Now listen to this here. It says, what God has done for us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen to this. It says, I'm coming out of Colossians 1 and 13. It says, God has rescued us from the power of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of his Son, whom he loves. His Son, Jesus Christ, paid the price to free us, which means that our sins are forgiven. So you mean to tell me that if I don't accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, that my sins are not forgiven, and if I die in that state, I'll be lost? Yeah. That's what it's saying. So, in other words, there's nothing you can do in the realm of the Spirit as far as salvation is concerned to reap eternal life without Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter what you do or what religion you get into. If you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, guess what? You're not going to make it in. It all hinges on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hence the resurrection. Hence Jesus dying, being buried, resurrected, coming out of the grave after 3 days and three nights. And all those people seeing Jesus after he come out of the grave, and the many things that he did after he come out of the grave, and the many things that he said after he come out of the grave, is proof for our salvation. Because if it didn't happen, as was said earlier, we could not be saved. Nobody could be changed. Nobody could be cleansed from the inside out. Nobody. Everybody would be lost. Everybody would be doing whatever they want to do, and there would not be righteous people on the face of the earth if it had not been for Jesus Christ. All right. Now it says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. He created all things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether they are kings or lords, rulers or powers, everything has been created through him and for him. He existed before everything and holds everything together. Now, we were just looking at a program on the other night, and a gene or a particular cell. It's a cell. And this cell is called laminin. And what this cell does, it tells all the other cells in your body what to do. Not only does this laminin tell every cell in your body what to do, it also holds all the cells together. Without this cell in your body, you could not survive. Okay? Now, they say the atom of this cell looks like something interesting. The atom of this cell laminin looks like Jesus on the cross. Now, the laminin cell itself looks like a cross. This is factual. So you see here it says, and he holds everything together. It's proven in science that he holds everything together. Even in the universe, they can't understand why all the planet is just sitting there. Think about this. There's not supposed to be any gravity out in space. So, if there is no gravity out in space, What's holding these planets there? Look like they'd be floating all over the place like you throw something on some water. But they're just sitting where they're supposed to sit. All the planets are in their proper orbit, and they never come off. But there's no gravity out there. What's holding them? What's holding them? What's holding them? God is holding them in place. Jesus Christ is holding them in place. Just like Jesus Christ is holding you together through that one cell that scientists have discovered that's holding your body together. How? He also is the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, the first to come back to life, so that he would have first place in everything. God was pleased to have all of himself live in Christ. God was also pleased to bring everything on earth and in heaven back to himself through Christ. He did this by making peace through Christ's blood sacrifice on the cross. It says, once you were separated from God, the evil things you did showed your hostile attitude. But now Christ has brought you back to God by dying in his physical body. He did this so that you could come into God's presence without sin, without fault, or faith. This is on the condition that you continue in faith without being moved from the solid foundation of the hope that the good news continues. Contained. And what is that good news? That good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That good news is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. That good news is the word of God. You've heard this good news of which I, Paul, he's the one who wrote this, became a servant. It has been spread throughout all creation under heaven. Now, people of the Most High God, everybody listening and everybody sitting here, this is not a light thing. Look around you. Look outside. Listen to the news. Look at the television sometime. Listen to your radio. You can just go out and just take a walk, and all you see is evil. Now, some people want to say, why does God allow all this stuff to happen? Well, God is not so much allowing it to happen as if men is choosing that. They are choosing that. How are they choosing that? They are choosing that by accepting the things of the enemy and obeying the devil. Jesus said, you are the servant of whom you obey. But if you obey the devil, guess what? You're going to reap whatever benefits the devil has for you. So if he wants to kill you, guess what? He'll kill you. If he wants to hook you on drugs or dope, he will do that. If he wants to make a pimp or a prostitute out of you, he will do that. If he wants to destroy you, he will do that. Why? Because you chose that lifestyle. Now, you say, well, why don't God just stop them? Well, God gives everybody a choice. Everybody has a choice. Everybody has a will. But what will you do with that choice? What will you do with your will? Will you serve God or will you serve the devil? There's only two choices. There's no in between. There's no purgatory. There's not. There's no gray area in God. If you want to make it plain, it's just black and white. You go black or white. And there's no gray. There's no in between. So how do you deal with that? You deal with that by making an active choice to choose God or the devil. Now how do you do that? You do that with your life. You do that with your choices. You do that by how you react when the word of God is going forth. You do that by what is going on in your mind while you're hearing the word of God. Because, see, you remember earlier? That's what the devil, he wants to deal with your mind first. Because if he can get in your mind and cause you to have an active conversation with him, he knows he's going to win. He already knows that. That's why he wants to talk to you. That's why he tells you things. He wants you to get into an active dialogue with him, because he knows when you get in an active dialogue with the devil, he got you. You can't talk with him. You can't have an active dialogue with him. The only thing you do with him is you cast him out, you rebuke him, and you plead the blood of Jesus over him, because if you start talking with the devil, you're going to do whatever he wants to do. Because it worked with Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve was, at the time when Satan was talking to them, they were sinless. Their wisdom was higher than our wisdom. They weren't dummies. They weren't ignorant. They had a wisdom that surpassed our wisdom. But when they began to try to negotiate and reason with and have a conversation with Lucifer, the devil, that anointed sheriff that fell out of the kingdom of God, they kicked him out. They couldn't stand. So you can't deal with him on that. But that's the reason why Jesus Christ came and did what he did on the cross. That's why he did that. So that we can have our strength in him. And our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he defeated the enemy on the cross. When he come up out that grave, he had all authority and all power, and every knee bowed to Jesus Christ when he came up out of that grave. All power was given to him. Now, he didn't receive just that power for himself. He received that power and authority that he can give it to you, so you can have victory over the enemy, so you wouldn't have to die and be destroyed by the hand of the devil. So if you are destroyed, it's not his fault. If you do die and your soul is lost, it's nobody's fault but yours. Because God has already made the way. He has already defeated the enemy. He has already taken the sting out of death. He has already made a way for us to have eternal life. And then, not only eternal life and the next life to come, but abundant life now. So you don't have to suffer. Now, hey, now. Sometimes you might catch a cold, you might get sick sometime, you might lose a job, and something bad might happen to you. But that has no sway over your eternal life. That has no sway over your authority in Jesus Christ. That has no sway over your salvation. That has no sway over your righteousness in this life, because the Lord has already provided the means of our righteousness in Christ Jesus. All because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All because of his doctrine. All because of his life. All because of his birth. All because of everything that Jesus Christ has done in regard to us. We have victory in Christ Jesus. But you notice I said, in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. It's not in my religion, per se. It's not in my denomination, per se. But it is in my relationship and my mind toward Christ. Like the Lord said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And what was the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ was obedience to the Father. So if the mind of Christ is obedience to the Father, our mind should be in obedience to Jesus Christ and his word. That's what the resurrection of Jesus Christ is all about. Pulling us back into the kingdom of God, whereas at one time we were outside of his grace. We were outside of the kingdom of God. We had no relationship to God. We were dead even though we were walking in the flesh. We were dead of spirit. Now, it's amazing And that's the mystery of God, that he did what he did. And he gave us life through the death of his son. Wow. And what is his son? The word of God incarnate. God sent his word and it saved us. It healed us. It delivered us. It set us free. That word came in the embodiment of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So the only way that we can obtain and grow in the graces of the Lord is via and by through our knees of repentance. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's plain and simple. So, what am I getting at? We're talking about this Resurrection Sunday. Now, people are filling up churches all over the country. All over the country now, they're filling up churches. They're going up in there. And they you know, they're getting their little Easter baskets. And they're looking good. And I have nothing against that. I like to look good, too. But to go up in the church on Resurrection Sunday one way and then leave out the same way, and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, you haven't done anything. You haven't done anything, because the purpose of Jesus coming up out of the grave and being resurrected is for you to be saved. That's it. So, what is it all about? A lot of times it's only about religiosity. A lot of times it's only about doing something that makes me feel good. A lot of times it's just doing something because it's a family tradition. Well, on Christmas we go to church. On Resurrection Sunday we go to church. Sometimes we go to church on Thanksgiving, but we just go because it's a family tradition. But as far as accepting the Lord as our Savior, that's not what we're going for. We're not going to get saved. We're not even going to get delivered or set free. Because many times people, they'll go up and they'll be sitting up in church and they're thinking about what they're going to do when they get out. Ooh, I must have stomped somebody's toe. But like I'm saying, that's the mindset of some people. And that's why people are not being set free. That's why we have what we have in churches today. That's why people can come in various churches and do anything, because their heart is not right. The resurrected Jesus Christ is not alive in their heart and in their mind, so therefore they can do anything and they can say anything. But in reference to that, praise the Lord. In reference to all of that, we have to bring out the truth of the Word of God. We have to tell it like what the Lord, how he says, speak it and tell it. Because if we don't, then you're in jeopardy and I'm in jeopardy. Because I'm not preaching the straight Word of God. Look, I'm going to say this. Look out in the world. Are worldly people holding back on their words? They're not. These various organizations out there, whether they're wrong or right, they're not holding back on anything. They're saying whatever they want to say, whether it offends you or not, they're saying it. They're putting it out there. So if they're putting it out there, how much more should we, the people of God, the elders and the pastors and the bishops and the apostles and the prophets, how much more should we speak up for the things of God? Look, it's a spiritual war going on out there, and we need to get our sword and our shield, put our helmet on, put the breastplate of righteousness, have our loins girded about us too, have our foot shod with the preparation of the gospel, and get out there and go to war. We're in a war. Just because the devil is not attacking you right off every day doesn't mean we're not in a war. We are in a war, and Jesus Christ has given us the power to win this war. By his resurrection, he gave us all the authority and the power what it's about. But you cannot defeat the enemy without Jesus Christ in your life. You can forget it if you're not saved. Are you hearing me out there? You cannot defeat the enemy without the Lord. You cannot come against the devil without being saved and full of the Holy Spirit, and the anointing of Jesus Christ is not happening. He will eat you up and spit you out and stomp on you. Look, the devil don't love anybody. Demons does not, they do not love anybody. Nobody. Don't you believe the lies of these false prophets? Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? Don't you believe that you can please God without Christ in your life? Don't you believe that your tithe offering is going to get you into the kingdom? Yes, it's important and it's needed. But it will not get you into the kingdom of God. Neither does it necessarily please God when you're not saved and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Get that out of your mind. He wants your heart. The Lord wants your heart. He wants your heart. He wants you to be saved. It is God's will that every man, woman, boy, and girl is saved and comes into the kingdom of God and makes it into heaven. That is the will of God above all and foremost. That's it. It's simple, but to some people it's difficult. Because while I'm speaking this, the devil got his grips on somebody. And he's messing with their mind and say, don't believe that. Don't believe that. Don't believe that. But why is he doing that? Because he knows if you believe it, the devil has lost his grip on you when you believe what Jesus is telling you. What does the Lord say? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that I can raise Lazarus from the grave? Do you believe that? And she did, and guess what? Lazarus come up out of the grave, been dead for 3 days and 3 nights, stinking, rotting. But Jesus rose him from the grave. Jesus can raise you from your grave if you believe it, if you receive it. Let me say this to you and to everybody listening. There is no sin. There is no error. There is no wrong that the Lord cannot forgive you for. There is no dirt. There is no uncleanness that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can't cleanse you of. There is no possession. There is no oppression. There is no depression that the Lord can't set you free from. There's nothing under the sun when you desire salvation, when you desire Christ Jesus, when you accept the resurrection, the resurrected power of Jesus Christ. There's nothing that can separate you from God when you desire Christ Jesus. No. No. So, that's what this is about. It's about my salvation. Your salvation, my deliverance, your deliverance, my wholeness, and your wholeness. That's what this day is about. That's what it's all about. It's not about the programs. Not about the clothes. It's not about the Easter baskets. It's about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, at that, I'm going to close out. And now, to those that are listening out there on the radio, we have a phone number there, and you can call in, or you can email us. You can go to our website, www.kogm.net, and we'll be more than happy to pray with you. We will get back with you. If you email us, we will email back to you, and we will pray with you, or We can give you some instructions on the things you need to do in reference to God and Christ, in reference to salvation, in reference to wholeness, in reference to deliverance. We can pray that the enemy take his hand off you. But if there's somebody in this room who has a desire to get in right standing with the Lord, we will help you in that area. So that is open. That's it. Amen. So right now we're going to close out the program. We're going to close out with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the revelation of your word on this Resurrection Sunday. Father God, we ask right now that you touch all the listeners, touch their hearts, touch their minds, and let your will be done in their life. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come against every foul and unclean spirit. We bind them up and we cast them out right now in Jesus' name. We come against spirits that would oppress, spirits that would depress, spirits that would cause sickness and disease. We bind them up and we cast them out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, give them the revelation of your word that it would be real and that it would come alive in their minds and in their heart. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let that anointing power flow out into them that they would grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. That ends our program. What I would like to say before we leave is that